This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And welcome to our podcast,
Scary Stories to Tell on the pod.
It's a scary story podcast by cowards who like to be scared. It is not, it's not bad.
Right.
And it's not mean.
That's true.
It's nice and it's spooky.
And it's not History Channel.
It's not History Channel.
It is two little dips having their fun.
You know, remember the story we all learned about the nursing home that gave out the animatronic seals to the old people with Alzheimer's? You remembered learning this. There's a story in like 2015 that they invented these animatronic seals to give to people with Alzheimer's who are feeling lonely, and it like fixed them.
Why did they have to be seals?
I don't know.
It's such a funny thing to be like, this thing that you must have a relationship with, a mechanical seal.
It feels like they already made the seals for like sex dolls or something, and then we're like, oh, we'll just use it for old people. Anyway, this podcast is the podcast equivalent of those animatronic seals for old people.
I think that feels very right.
We're here to keep you company,
mm-hmm.
Make it nice.
Yeah, maybe you're on a long drive.
You're too confused for anything else.
I deeply need that in a podcast, and I'm happy to provide that, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like during all the Thanksgiving preparations last week, the type of podcast that I needed to listen to really was one that required nothing of me, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of general vibes.
Like, you know? Chatting,
maybe some loose information, but not anything that I would remember to look up later, and not anything that I would feel confident enough to repeat to other people as fact.
That's great.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you for a name of one of them, but that felt cruel.
No,
ask you to remember something.
I mean, well, I love Trixie and Katya's podcast.
Oh,
I
God,
really
so
enjoy,
funny.
Obviously. And then Bob the Drag Queen and Monet Exchange's podcast. The thing is, these are very like smart, knowledgeable people, but sometimes it's like just nice to listen to friends talk.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what people see in us.
We're the not hot version of that.
I know. This is that version of Old Navy shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like a mouse in a hole wearing like a nightcap drinking tea.
Oh yeah, that's good. Us. I wish I was a mouse.
Andrew, you made some fantastic side dishes for our Thanksgiving.
I mean, Anna, you did as well. We did spend our Thanksgiving together.
We did.
We had a little Friendsgiving. And really A+ work all across the board.
It was the best food any of us had ever had at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I felt dangerously full by the end.
It was not okay.
Yeah, man.
I was in pain.
And like, Jason made a fantastic key lime pie.
Jason made a fantastic key lime pie with real key limes.
Which is hard to find, and I'm very impressed.
And they're really tiny. Just seeing his big old man hands kind of zesting a tiny little lime, I was like, this is why men shouldn't do this work.
Yeah, this is a mouse recipe. Yeah, oh, that's the problem. It's a mouse recipe.
There's nothing like a Friendsgiving with people in their mid-30s who don't have kids, because everyone can spend 17 hours on two dishes.
Yeah,
and it tastes incredible.
It's all freshly grated nutmeg.
It's all fresh. Nothing's out of a can.
I know Chris really, the day before Thanksgiving, we had an agreement where I was going to do all the cooking, and I was like, I might have to send you to the grocery store the day before Thanksgiving at some point. And he did it. He was a real champ. I don't think there are any problems. He's nodding no, and he's
horrified
that I mentioned
no.
him.
That's really cute.
No, but it worked out. I made the milk bar pumpkin pie.
Oh my God, it was so, and you came by it honestly. I think some people made the milk bar pumpkin pie for the wrong reasons. I think you made it.
Can I tell you something? I didn't take a single picture of it, and that was on purpose.
Wow.
Here's the other thing. I also didn't make the crust, so I'm not gonna
Wait, I honestly think that that's kind of edgy.
I wasn't willing to do it. Anna, you had to wait. You had to take canned pumpkin, put it in the oven, and then it was just like, and then just take it out once the pumpkin has reduced to 500 grams in weight. So I was taking out the pumpkin.
Grams?
Slopping it up, putting it on the kitchen scale until it got down to 500 grams.
And none of us have kids.
None of us have. Yeah, that's exactly it. If I had a kid, he would have died by
earache. We can leave a hot oven door open and down, and no one's going to touch it.
I have no idea. I was just talking to my mom about this, too. Have you ever heard this conversation about, like, when our parents hosted Thanksgiving? And my mom really, like, loves hosting and really loves cooking. But the concept that she would, like, when people be like, what can you bring? I'm like, all the side dishes or, like, the entire turkey. And my mom would be like, just whatever you like to drink. And I was like, how did you make everything? Like, what did you actually do?
Here's the thing. And I say this with love. And I said it to my mother's face.
Yeah.
None of it was very good. It was good because it was good.
Yeah.
And it was
all made.
It was hot. And it was protein that was salted and
yes.
seasoned and with good dishes
yeah.
on the side with butter and whatever.
I think that's
but it was not very good.
Yeah.
I think we're making like restaurant quality.
For each thing.
Yeah. Like my mom, if she used a recipe, it was like scrawled on like a napkin by a dying woman.
Yes.
Like it wasn't like, let me like look up America's Test Kitchen to see which of these eight recipes is good.
That's like, a really good point. And everything's canned soup. It's just like canned soup and everything.
Canned soup. Which is how I cook too.
Oh
like
my God. It's what you want.
Yeah.
It's really what you want. I really, what I respected about this year's Thanksgiving too was everyone made amazing stuff and no one was trying too hard. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
And I don't say that in like people put a lot of effort into it, but it wasn't like, we weren't like, this is a stuffing foam. You know?
Yeah. It wasn't like, these are like the shrimps with the eyes.
Yeah. It's like, a cranberry gastrique.
Don't gastrique me.
Don't gastrique anybody, really. I also think French's onions have a lot to do with our fond memories of Thanksgiving.
Oh,
just
yeah.
dumping that in everything. It tastes good in anything.
Tastes good in everything, and you don't have it other times of year.
And because Thanksgiving is over, we're now entering into the latter winter holiday season.
Yes.
Which classically, prior to the popularity of Halloween in America, was also considered a spooky season.
It's spooky.
Yeah.
There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmas long ago.
Curious about what the tales of the glories were. Like, I'm aware of what the scary stories are, but what are the glorious Christmas stories?
I don't know.
Besides the obvious, the birth of Santa Claus.
It took forever.
It took so long.
Really violent. Yeah.
He came out sideways.
He came outside and he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
And you could tell because he said, I did it on purpose.
And then he flipped off the OBGYN.
Yeah. Who was the first one?
I know. His name was OBGYN.
He was a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Jason just spit his damn cookie latte all over the place.
See, this is a History Channel podcast.
It is.
And Anna, speaking of history.
Yes.
Today's story, I did a thing where I was trying to think of famous, iconic campfire stories, ghost stories, creepypastas that we have not covered yet. Mm-hmm. And on all the top fives was this story, which I have never heard before.
Oh.
And the origin of which I'm curious about, the earliest version of it I could find was from 12 years ago on the Reddit subreddit for No Sleep. And the title of it is simply, What I Saw Through the Keyhole. Do you mind if I share it?
Please. No, of course not.
Please don't. A traveling salesman stopped at a shabby motel for the night and checked in at the front desk. The lady gave him his key and told him that on the way to his room there was a door with no number that was locked. Nobody is allowed in, she told him, and don't be tempted to look inside. The room is off limits to all. So, as a good man should, he followed the instructions of the woman, going straight to his room and soon after to bed. But the night after, his curiosity picked at him. He'd barely slept the night before because his mind was racing, wondering what could be in that room that he wasn't supposed to see. He walked down the hall to the door and paced in front of it for a moment. Started to try the handle, stopped, started again. As he had thought it would be, it was locked. Standing for a moment, He finally bent down and looked through the wide, old-fashioned keyhole. It was made of brass and looked as if a skeleton key should have been paired to it. Cold air passed through it, turning the orb that was his eye. Okay, this is Reddit.
All right.
Turning the orb that was his eye into ice. What he saw was a motel room, not unlike his, complete with worn carpet and stained comforter, tarnished bedside lamp, and peeling wallpaper. Except in the corner was a woman standing, whose skin was white as ivory, with hair as black as ink. She was leaning into the wall, nose in the corner like a child who had misbehaved and is being punished for it. He stared in mute fascination for a while, and more than a little confusion, but she never moved. He became worried. She was unnaturally still. He couldn't even detect her taking the faintest of breaths. She was a mannequin, a doll, snow white in her slumber. He almost knocked on the door out of curiosity, out of worry and fascination and some compulsion. Something whispered in the back of his mind that he needed to go in. He needed to save her. He almost knocked, almost tried the knob again. Something told him that this time it would not be locked. But something stayed his hand. He had been warned away from this door, this room. Something was not right. He turned and left the door, holding up in his room for the night, only to go to bed to toss and turn in a fitful sleep, haunted by formless terrors, both in his dreams and out. The next day, the salesman determinedly strode to the door and looked through that still glinting, still icy keyhole. But all he saw was red. He couldn't make out anything beyond the unnerving crimson color. He thought maybe he'd been found out, tattled upon, and the occupiers of the room had covered the keyhole. He was angry that he could not see his lady one more time before leaving. But something about the red nagged at him, hovering at the back of his mind. Something was not right. As he was checking out and turning in the key, he decided to ask something of the woman guarding the desk. "Would you mind telling me why the room with no number is off limits?" he asked. She looked him in the eye a moment, and finally took a deep breath. "Did you look?" she asked. "Tell me the truth." The salesman was on the verge of telling her that he had, but after a slight moment of hesitation that he hoped she hadn't seen, he told her that he had not looked, but was just curious as to the story. "Well, I might as well tell you. A long time ago, before my time here, a strange couple rented out that room. Acted oddly from what I hear. One night, about a week into their stay and in utter silence, the husband murdered his wife in that room. Her ghost haunts it," she said with complete certainty. "Few people have dared to look into that room, and all who have seen her ghost look back have died gruesome deaths." At this point, the salesman took an easy breath because he had looked at her, his Snow White, but she had not looked back. "But," the receptionist continued, "that woman wasn't ordinary. She had the whitest skin you've ever seen, and her eyes were red." And that's the end of the story. Bum, bum.
So she was right up on the hole.
She was right up on the hole. Eye on hole.
Eye on hole.
Tonight on Eye on Hole.
Oh, that's every night.
See, okay, so I had not heard the story before.
It was so scary.
It was scary.
Good story, Andrew.
Thank you very much. I love the time of Reddit creepypastas that are written by the smartest 14-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. It just, you know? They all talk like sea captains.
Yes, exactly.
His Snow White.
Snow White. Any good man should. I'm like, this is great.
This is great.
This person has only ever eaten Doritos.
Oh, yeah.
I'm charmed by it. It's interesting to me because I found a couple of different versions. There's a lot of versions of this that focus on like albinism, like that, okay. That she was an albino woman. And I don't know, something was going on in the 90s. We really were giving albino people a hard time. They were used as the butt of jokes in a lot of movies and as kind of scary, yeah, magical people.
We were in their business.
Yeah. Powder. Remember Powder?
No.
Oh my God. Anna, see, I feel like... I feel like you actually would love Powder and maybe develop some feelings.
It sounds like a beloved restaurant that shut down.
Yeah, it's so funny because I was about to say that he's played by John Patrick Shanley, which is not true because that's a famous playwright. But it's another Irish, like a young, hot Irish actor with three names. In any event, it's like he's a bald albino who like has magical electric powers.
Okay.
And yeah, Powder. I don't know. I was on TV a lot when we were young. Sean Patrick Flannery
says my betrothed.
Thank you very much. Thank you,
betrothed of the pod.
Betrothed of the pod is a great...
As every good man should.
Jason's about to get a whole lot of fan sent stuff that says betrothed of the pod.
Oh, come on. Wow. I do... The only thing I remember is my famous crush... now I can't remember his name. Are we old? Did we turn old now?
True. I think it just happened a few weeks ago. This is happening to me all the time.
If you can't remember Paul Bettany's name while you're saying that he's your celebrity crush, you're old.
Was he in The Da Vinci Code or Angels and Demons?
One of them.
Yeah.
But he was albino in that. And I was like, that's not slowing me down.
That's the thing. I don't know. It's a weird... I mean, what else is new that like humanity is like, if something is different, it's awful or something to be made fun of. But yeah, I mean... More albino representation, please.
And you know what? People are delighted to see an albino animal every time. There was that albino lobster.
Let's have that enthusiasm carried over to the human race. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I saw somebody posted on Reddit two albino deer in their yard, and people were thrilled.
Oh. Well, see, I feel like there's so many, not so many, but there are more than one albino models. And I think that's been a big gag.
The distribution of hot is unpredictable.
That is very, very true. Although the thing about this one is, and I cut out the word albino because it goes to such great lengths to say that she has jet black hair.
Oh, yeah.
Which, come on now. We can't be picking and choosing.
No, but I will say that I do think it's still okay that pale skin with jet black hair.
Yes.
Is scary.
That is scary. Just from an art directed level.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about contrasting colors.
Contrast.
Yeah. If you had green skin and red hair, that'd be scary too.
Yeah. It's about the color wheel mostly.
It really is about, fear is about the color wheel.
Andrew, this was so, and you know what I like about this story? Should we talk about what's scary about it?
Please.
I like that it's so simple.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing that happened in this story that was like outside of what could happen to me.
Absolutely.
You know, like I've been to motels.
Constantly.
I've seen doors.
Yeah.
Some of the doors have holes in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lady. And I've not taken advice.
That's true. You've got it all down there.
Yeah. And I also relate to the innkeeper woman who said, like, just so you know, this completely avoidable problem that wouldn't have come up if I hadn't said it, just please don't do it.
I love that. Like, did you ever do that when you were working in hotels as a concierge?
Tell people about the haunted room.
Yeah. you did, yeah.
No,
there were haunted rooms.
It was like the hotel was haunted. I could never remember. Like I didn't work at the front desk, so I was never privy to which room specifically. It was usually floors because the room layouts would change over the years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, I think like back before 1940, everybody had the entire floor of an apartment building themselves.
Yeah, that is
true.
But
wait, what were you saying that I did?
Oh, no, just that, when you were a concierge, would you, if there was like, did you ever give someone extra information that they didn't need because it kind of felt good
constantly.
As a concierge? Yeah.
Oh, my God. The amount of time I was so bad and annoying, and I deserve every bad customer service interaction I ever have. I was the worst.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, no, I was a pill. And I apologize.
But see, at least it's in a setting where it's also fleeting. Like what you said had no impact on the person, for better or worse.
I think I was a little bit of a poop.
A boob?
A poop.
Oh, a poop. I think I was a little bit of a boob back then.
A little bit of a boob. What else is scary about this?
Well, one thing that is frightening to me is when someone tells you about a murder too late, or tells you about something that happened too late. It can even be something as like, I'm sorry that you just said poop and then now it's in my head.
No, do it.
But it's like, if ever you've like walked across a field or something, and then you like get to the person you're talking to and they were like, I meant to tell you there's a whole lot of like lamb shit out there. So you're going to step in it. And then you're like, you've shouted that to me or before I crossed.
Yeah. I like shot me with a bow and arrow so that I fall down in it.
Yeah. I don't know that. Oh. Or just getting the warning too late.
Oh yeah. That was really scary. And I thought it was scary that, he didn't tell her that he looked.
I know. That is very, that's so scary. How's she going to kill him? You know?
Yeah. But she's going to bite him.
Killing someone silently is also very scary to me.
Oh yeah. That people was a scary are loud. Detail. Have you ever heard a person?
They're loud. And killing is maybe the loudest thing you can do. So to put those things together, that's crazy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Should we cast it?
I would love to cast it. I've been thinking about this as soon as I read it. Who's okay? What about the salesman, traveling salesman?
Oh, I guess I pictured Evan Peters.
We love Evan Peters. We love.
Feels
Evan
a little bit of the past.
Yeah. Yeah. He, what, why is Evan Peters so good at playing people from another era? What's going on there?
I think he just doesn't look like most people right now.
Mm. He also has, I'm thinking of like, there's a quality of his voice that is from another time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just looks like a salesman.
He had an old voice from a young age.
Yes.
And that really, will do it for you.
Yeah.
Evan Peters is really good. Front desk. I was thinking Rosie Perez.
Oh, that's great.
Like she inherited the motel. It's not her first job.
No.
This is a thing that she's doing. She works nights.
Yeah. She does other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about kind of exhausted, but kind of loving to share the gossip that I like.
Yeah. She's got a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah.
I was picturing, God, is it Office Space? A character who keeps answering the phone over and over going,
corporate accounting.
Just a moment.
Yeah. Corporate accounting. Anita speaking.
Just a moment. Yeah, that's Office Space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I pictured her, that character.
That's good. She's got a really good hair shape in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Or Conchata Farrell.
I love Conchata.
Oh, she's also so good.
The best name.
Just come on.
You know, she's in
movies.
I think she's in Edward Scissorhands. She's one of the ladies in the block.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that cast is stacked.
Out of control.
We should, next Halloween, we got to go as those ladies.
That's right. I went as Edward Scissorhands in high school.
Did you really?
I didn't leave enough time to make a safe scissor hands. I think I just
seen a picture of this.
I don't know that I have one. This was classic me, was like putting so much effort into a costume and not taking a picture.
I do this all the time. I think there's something kind of magical about that though.
It's ephemeral.
Yes.
This is the argument for not preserving your bridal bouquet. Is that flowers are supposed to be ephemeral.
Wow.
And that's what's special about
them. What do people do? They like tie them upside down. You put them in some sort of liquid and they dry.
There are like companies you can hire to preserve it for you. I don't know what chemicals they're using. They're going to tell you it's natural. It's not.
No, no.
I think people put them in like resin. Like in a sort of
that makes sense. Yeah.
Like a paperweight kind of thing.
I saw a TikTok about how there's like they were like, what happens if we put a hamburger in resin? Like, will it preserve forever? And very quickly, as soon as it starts to rot, that rot finds a way out, everybody. And it creates little cracks and like it expands and it squirts out the rotten juice. So if you're at this Christmas
Jason
season
is frantically Googling.
Yeah. This Christmas season, if you are tempted to make a resin ornament with actual food inside, I'm here to tell you, reader beware.
Jason has been methodically putting in addresses into our wedding spreadsheet and immediately closed it.
Now,
threw his phone in the garbage.
Now those skills are going entirely to food and resin.
Oh,
I don't know if this is the one where it starts to rot.
Why wouldn't it be?
Because I've seen them before where it gets put in resin and then like the first few updates.
Yeah.
Cut into this one. Okay.
Oh, I don't like that the resin turns a color.
I know.
Oh, that
you can't outrun the rot,
good.
Everybody. It's not going to happen.
Like that. Oh yeah. 30 days. Oh, the rot is finding a way out.
That's kind of how I feel. That's how it feels to be 36. The rot's finding the rot a way
always
out.
Finds a way. Rot finds a way.
Rot finds a way.
Oh my God.
Anna, what is, as someone who
wait, we didn't cast the lady.
Oh, we cast the almost important part.
Oh my God. Who would it be? I pictured Kristen Ritter or Taryn Manning.
This is hack to say. Cher.
Cher.
Could it be Cher?
It could definitely be Cher.
Did you see her in the parade?
No. I was wondering why people were Googling her so much.
Yeah. So she has a Christmas album coming out. What if we sold ad space to Cher's Christmas album?
I thought you said, what have we? And I filled in, what have we done to deserve a Cher Christmas album?
What have we done to deserve a Cher Christmas album?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And she's gone to such lengths to be like, it's not just, you know, me singing Silent Night. These are new Christmas anthems, which I'm like, so delighted by that she was like, I'm going to make new Christmas songs. But the clip that's kind of going around is that clearly there have been three gay dancers who their only job when Cher stopped to sing was to take her coat off, but she's doing it at the wrong time. So then it just looks like three men are kind of grabbing Cher at an inopportune time and stealing her jacket. Are you watching it? No.
I keep finding pictures and then like looking for the gaze in the background because she's still wearing the jacket.
Thing to just see a man grab grab a diva's coat.
No.
And to make it look kind of like it's not on purpose.
Unhand
but
the diva.
Unhand the diva.
I'm pulling it up. DJ Play a Christmas Song is a perfect name for a Cher Christmas song.
That is, yeah.
I have to say that one of my favorite performance moments in anything is in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade when the volunteer balloon holder people do a little bit of choreo.
Yeah, and it's never right.
It's a step touch. It's never right.
Yeah.
But it's just nice that the people dancing on TV don't... oh, here they come. Okay. Oh, we're doing a little bit
DJ
of...
DJ Play a Christmas.
It looks like he's like, Cher.
Yeah, Cher. Cher? Cher, can I have your jacket?
He taps her elbow just a little bit. This sweet angel who was not born when 9/11 happened is just like, Cher. Like, I'm singing.
Leave Cher alone. The parade is happening.
It can wait.
What? Try to think about what couldn't wait. What would make you interrupt Cher during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? And then just be like, can I have your jacket?
Cher. What? That's really nice. Yeah. That's great. Sorry. So what were you about to say?
Oh, just that Cher could be the woman.
Oh, yeah.
And that, I could just see... Yeah. Do you believe in the lady in the motel room?
And her eyes are red if you get really close. I've heard that.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, Cher, I really like seeing Cher do spooky things.
And speaking of spooky things.
Oh?
This brings us to a segment.
We like to call Scary Ideas for Things That Could Happen.
Andrew, would you like to go first or second?
I think I'll go second if that's okay.
Okay, great. You are the gardener at a large, large estate, and your job is to look after the rose bushes over the winter. And every day you wake up in your little hut on the grounds, you push open the door against the mounds of snow, and you trudge out to put little sweaters on the bushes. And one day your finger gets pricked by one of the thorns. Nothing unusual. This happens to you all the time. And your blood touches the sweater a little bit. And the sweater turns red all over. And then all of the sweaters on all of the hundreds of rose bushes also turn red. And then all of the rose bushes are wearing red sweaters. That could happen.
That's how fashion works.
That's how fashion works.
Yeah. Suddenly we're all the roses wearing red sweaters.
Wow. I really relate to J.J. Abrams trying to find the landing for Lost. Like I didn't have anything.
No, but you know, and yet you still found something that I feel like 50% of the viewing audience would appreciate.
And it partially was I don't know how to take care of roses over the winter.
I feel like I've seen them wrap them up and stuff, but I love the idea of putting those sweaters. Right.
I follow a lot of dahlia farmers. They gotta dig up the tubers and put them in like plastic containers with sand. And they all have a different method.
Dahlias are tubers, or
it's like a root that they have to dig up because otherwise they'll go rancid.
My God,
like when the mud gets wet.
We used to live in caves,
and now we're doing this.
Now we're digging up tubers. Okay. In the same respect, Anna, I'm gonna do a J.J. Abrams, and I have no end in mind here.
Great.
You are making Cookie Press cookies for the upcoming holiday because you've heard it's a cost-effective way to give friends and business associates gifts.
What's it? What is it?
Cookie Press cookie is, it's in a big tube.
Oh, sure,
you
sure.
You put
sure.
the dough in, mm-hmm. you twist a little thing, and then different shapes come out of the tube.
Great.
Sometimes people call them like spritz cookies or something. I don't know. Anyway. Right. And you're turning the crank to get the dough out of the cookie press for the first go. And the first cookie comes out and it's a perfect Christmas tree shape. And then you put another thing on and it's a perfect snowflake shape. And you turn the crank again and you hear, and you think it's just squeaky. And so you turn the crank again and you hear, and you go to check what's going on, and you open it, and looking back at you is the dough, and the dough is making hard eye contact with you, and the dough says,
"The least you could do is buy me dinner first."
And you say, I don't know what that had to do specifically to this situation, because me cranking your body into a cookie shape would not typically be associated with like a sexy thing. And then the cookie says,
I'm talking. I feel like that's enough. It's a strange enough thing.
That could happen.
It could happen.
And sometimes it's important to step behind the curtain and confront the talking dough.
This one was a little meta.
This one was a little bit
Black Mirror.
Yeah. But Black Mirror is calling. They're interested in this idea.
They're interested.
Andrew, I
liked that.
Thank you very much.
It was very Andrew.
Yeah, I think sometimes a trope I'm discovering is the spooky thing is just inanimate object talks back.
Oh, yeah.
And I think maybe that comes... I was very scared of The Brave Little Toaster when I was a kid. So I think maybe that...
That was a horror movie.
My God, when the air conditioner has like a panic attack and dies, scared the hell out of me.
I've had my face in the couch.
Yeah,
I was not looking.
And then the fear that you realize your face is in the couch, that could be the couch's face.
Oh, I'm eating out the couch.
You know, when I'm eating out the couch, that's what I call falling asleep on the couch.
Oh, every night.
Oh God, I ate out the couch for 2 hours yesterday. Woof.
Oh, Jesus.
On that note,
thanks for listening, everyone.
And one more thing, if you could do us a quick favor.
Get out.